Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Psych Hope Self-Help Podcast, a space for women where psychology illuminates paths to healing hope and personal growth. I'm Dr. Jennifer McManus, a clinical psychologist, and I'll be your host. Each episode, we'll explore a different way to use psychology to enhance emotional wellness. Hope you enjoy the show. Hello, you're tuned in to episode 19. If you heard the last episode, then you know it was all about providing clarification for that part of the podcast intro where I share that here on the Psych Hope Self-Help Podcast, psychology illuminates paths to healing hope and personal growth. Specifically, I broke down what I mean by psychology lighting the way down these meaningful paths for us. I did this by providing a very short overview of the study of psychology and how it is different from other ways of knowing. I also described some key features of psychological research. On today's episode, we're going to stand solid on that foundation of the study of psychology we set last time as we explore the psychological benefits of physical exercise. I've touched upon this topic in other episodes, but only briefly. For example, you may have heard me mention that physical exercise can help improve mood in the third episode when I offered an overview of daily commitments that we as individual women can make towards prioritizing our own emotional well-being. Also, on the 12 Days of Holiday Stress Relief episode back in December that focused on how diet and exercise can help us to manage holiday stress, I highlighted how psychological research studies have found that people who exercise more regularly are less vulnerable to increased stressors. This episode is going to be more of a deep dive into the psychological benefits of physical exercise. I thought this was a relevant topic for this time of year, given many people are out there going strong with fitness goals, or maybe starting to lose a little steam with those sorts of goals, in which case perhaps these psychological benefits we're about to explore might motivate you to get back on track with your exercise goals. Before getting into the psychological research findings on the mental health benefits of physical exercise, I want to touch upon a couple matters that may be relevant to some women when it comes to exercise. First, I think it's important to acknowledge that women who engage in physical exercise do it for a variety of different reasons. For some, it's the physical health benefits, while for others, it might be to improve their appearance. Some women enjoy exercise for the opportunities to make social connections. And, of course, there are those who are already aware of the mental health benefits of exercise, like for stress relief, or mood-enhancing effects like the runner's high that's been common knowledge for quite some time now. Now, if you don't regularly exercise, then you're not alone in that. You also wouldn't be alone if you had a negative reaction to the topic of physical exercise. That's because so many women have had emotionally painful histories with physical exercise. Maybe you are bad at sports and associate physical exercise with feeling embarrassed. Maybe you feel like you've been chastised when you go to your doctor and are told you're overweight, or maybe even have a BMI that qualifies as obese and you are told you must exercise. Or maybe you had a highly critical family member or significant other at some point who put a lot of pressure on you to exercise and keep up a certain expected physical appearance. We all bring our own unique personal experiences to the exploration of the psychological benefits of exercise. No matter what your background with exercise, I encourage you to consider if it might be something to dial up in your life given the long list of overall health benefits. I have to say, I am so impressed with the psychological benefits of exercise. They are just too good not to share. Just interrupting here to tell you about a new resource I created for you. If you're experiencing high levels of work stress, this resource is for you. Please know, you're not alone. So many women are tired of work stress seeping into every area of their lives. Perhaps you can relate and want to do something about the negative impact work stress is having on you, but aren't sure how to get started. If this resonates with you, then I'd like to invite you to take a brief moment for yourself and try the Your Path Through Work Stress quiz. In 10 introspective questions, you'll learn more about your unique experience of work stress and which science-backed stress relief tools are most likely to help you reclaim your peace. Just head on over to psychhope.com/yourpath so you can take the first step down your best path through work stress. The quiz will also be linked in the show notes. I want to start with a broad view of the overall health benefits of regular exercise before we do our deep dive into the research findings on the psychological benefits of exercise. First, I'm going to start with the physical health benefits for adults as listed in the Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans put out by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So here we go. The physical health benefits involve lower risk of all-cause mortality, that is, death by any cause, lower risk of cardiovascular disease mortality, lower risk of cardiovascular disease, including heart disease and stroke, lower risk of hypertension, lower risk of type 2 diabetes, lower risk of adverse blood lipid profile, lower risk of cancers of the bladder, breast, colon, endometrium, esophagus, kidney, lung, and stomach, slowed or reduced weight gain, weight loss, particularly when combined with reduced calorie intake, prevention of weight regain following initial weight loss, improved bone health, improved physical function, lower risk of falls for older adults, and lower risk of fall-related injuries, also for older adults. The Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans also provide us with a good jumping-off point as far as the psychological benefits of exercise. They list improved cognition, this is in the area of brain health, reduced risk of dementia, including Alzheimer's disease, improved quality of life, reduced anxiety, reduced depression, and improved sleep. Now, although not listed in the guidelines, there is considerable research supporting the stress relief benefits of physical exercise. So I want to make sure that this is highlighted at this broad overview point. As we consider both the physical and mental health benefits of exercise, I want to point out that the physical health benefits of exercise can take a while to start showing. Mental health benefits, on the other hand, can be immediate, like within minutes, and with consistent exercise, can stick around for the long term too. All right, so let's get into these psychological research findings. Most of the studies I'll summarize are available online, so I'll be sure to link them in the show notes for anyone who might want to take a closer look at the data. So on the last episode, I mentioned that a decade back is a general rule of thumb when it comes to considering psychological research findings, but that we might go back further due to interesting but rarely studied topics. I also want to point out that another reason we might go back further than 10 years is to take a look at what we can regard as classic studies on subject matter of interest, in this case, physical exercise. These classic types of studies can often be credited with being one of the first studies with significant findings that inform the direction of future psychological research in that particular area. You might visualize these classic studies as the trunk of a tree with subsequent studies forming the individual branches of that tree. Since I've mentioned briefly on a couple of earlier episodes that physical exercise can help reduce symptoms of depression to a level where exercise is giving antidepressants a run for their money, pun totally intended, let's start our review of the research on the psychological benefits of exercise by looking at a classic study to better understand exactly how these findings about depression were made. Back in 2007 at Duke University, Dr. James Blumenthal, a clinical psychologist, conducted a randomized control study with adult participants who were considered sedentary and who also had a diagnosis of major depressive disorder. The participants were randomly assigned to one of the four following groups of the experiment. a group that engaged in supervised exercise, a group that did home-based exercise, a group that was receiving antidepressant medication, and last, a control group who were given a placebo pill. That's a benign pill that would have no discernible impact on the participants. The study lasted for 4 months with findings that participants in the two exercise groups and the antidepressant group had higher rates of remission of depression than the control group that just was taking a placebo pill. So this is one of the classic studies that has enhanced our understanding that exercise is an intervention that can bring the same effectiveness as antidepressant medication for people diagnosed with major depressive disorder. This finding can be a game changer for people who may find the natural intervention of exercise as a far more preferable option to taking medication. This decision is one that should be made with medical advice from one's own healthcare provider, though. Next, I want to share some findings from research conducted by psychologists Dr. Smits and Dr. Otto, which is just over that 10-year benchmark, but what I consider to be classic research when it comes to the impact that physical exercise can have on reducing and even preventing anxiety. First, though, it's important to give the framework through which anxiety was understood in this study. What we experience in our bodies as anxiety occurs when we perceive a potential threat, sometimes accurately, sometimes not, and our body shifts into fight or flight mode. The fight or flight response includes numerous automatic physical responses, such as increased perspiration, muscle tension, an upset stomach, heightened breathing and heart rates, as well as dizziness. Given that physical exercise brings on many of the same physical responses as the fight or flight response, like sweating, increased breathing, and heart rates, Drs. Smits and Otto hypothesize that physical exercise may reduce sensitivity to anxiety in those prone to feeling anxious. To test out their hypothesis, they ran a study with half of the participants engaging in a 2-week exercise program, with the other half serving as a control group who did not engage in an exercise program during those same 2 weeks. They found that the treatment group, those who were exercising, displayed improvement with their anxiety. They described exercise as a form of exposure to symptoms of anxiety in that the participants no longer viewed these physiological sensations with fear. Now let's shift gears a bit, moving away from the classic studies and turning our attention to a more recent study from 2020 at Ulm University in Germany, where they investigated the relationship of regular physical activity to mental health and well-being, as well as the association between short-term aerobic exercise to mental health and well-being. And by short-term, they meant 2 weeks and 6 weeks. Let's start by breaking down how mental health and well-being were measured in this study. The researchers used standardized self-report assessments, or questionnaires, of depression, anxiety, positive and negative affect, and for our purposes, affect is a way to describe how mood is expressed. They also measured perceived stress and coping strategies, body dissatisfaction, and quality of life. As is often the case with psychological research, the participants were college students. At the beginning of the study, 36.6% of the participants reported depressive symptoms, and 41.83% reported high levels of state anxiety. This next statistic from the beginning of the study is quite interesting. All of the participants reported experiencing stress due to uncertainty about finances, work, or social relationships. They found that those who engaged in regular physical activity reported lower levels of depression, anxiety, and perceived stress, along with higher levels of quality of life and positive mood. When they introduced the 6-week aerobic exercise intervention, they saw significant improvement with depression and perceived stress. These findings led the researchers to conclude that short-term aerobic exercise of low to moderate intensity can act as a buffer against depression and stress in college students. It's important to keep in mind, though, that these findings may not generalize to other population groups outside of college students. Shifting a bit here, I want to introduce a type of research study in psychology called meta-analysis. This type of study is relevant when you have voluminous amounts of research to review, as is the case with mental health benefits of physical exercise. It's beyond the scope of this podcast to get too detailed here, but it's helpful to point out that essentially what is investigated in a meta-analytic review is how powerful or strong the different studies are, and this is determined through advanced statistical tests. Meta-analytic reviews have found strong support for physical exercise decreasing symptoms of anxiety in healthy adults, reducing depressive symptoms in people diagnosed with a mental illness, and with improving sleep. This is not an exhaustive list of the meta-analytic reviews, but some of the key highlights. I do want to share the results of what I consider to be a rather interesting meta-analytic review, a recent study published just in 2022 that investigated if the location where physical exercise took place would have an impact on the psychological benefits. Since the literature already had strong support for the psychological benefits of outdoor over indoor physical exercise, Wicks and her research team compared green outdoor spaces to urban outdoor spaces. They found strong support of exercise in green spaces over urban outdoor spaces in terms of impact on anxiety, fatigue, positive affect, and vigor, along with some support for depression. So, I think this is a good spot to wind down our review of these impressive studies on the psychological benefits of physical exercise. I do want to point out, though, that the field of psychology still has so much to learn in this area, and there are numerous interconnections among related factors that are still being studied in this area. Shifting our focus from the data, let's briefly touch upon how we can apply these research findings on the psychological benefits of exercise as a self-help intervention in our own lives and wrap up this episode with how to get it going. Before we do that, though, I must give that disclaimer about getting physician approval before engaging in any form of physical exercise. While the results are clear that exercise can help with stress, anxiety, depressed mood, it can also be true that when someone is experiencing depression, whether clinical or situational or even just feeling down for a spell, or when we're feeling overwhelmed with stress or anxiety, working out may be one of the last things we want to do. It can be hard to get motivated for exercise at times like these. I have some good news for you, though. We don't have to start from scratch when it comes to getting motivated to increase exercise. Just a few weeks ago, I did an entire episode devoted to tips for reaching New Year's resolutions or personal goals any time of the year, and a lot of those tips can be applied to dialing up exercise in our lives. I'm referring here to episode 17 that was published on January 2nd, 2023. That episode includes tips like social support, accountability, pairing a behavior you're trying to increase with a more enjoyable activity, like listening to your favorite podcast, and celebrating the small wins along the way, all of which are also relevant to increasing physical exercise. I want to highlight a specific tip and connect it back to psychological research on the mental health benefits of exercise, and that is the importance of being realistic with our goals for change. We want to set attainable goals and not overdo it with too many or too lofty of goals, because that can result in giving up on them altogether. We see this pattern play out a lot in the realm of physical exercise. Maybe you've been there too, doing too intense of a workout when getting into exercise. We have the best intentions, but our muscles end up being sore, or worse, we injure ourselves and say, forget this, and abandon the whole workout plan. There's another key connection here to the mental health benefits of physical exercise. Studies have found that when we overexert ourselves with physical exercise, it can delay the emotional benefits of that exercise by up to a half hour. This delay may be too long for us to attribute the mood benefits to the exercise. This is another great reason to take a slow and steady approach to physical exercise. Not only are we helping to make exercise a more sustainable practice in our lives, but we're also giving ourselves more opportunity to get the most out of the psychological benefits of exercise. As we wind it down here, I just want to say, I hope this episode has given you a new perspective on the value of physical exercise. Perhaps you're feeling inspired now to get a new exercise routine going, or even just find more opportunities to be physically active. As the research shows, it all counts. If you have not already, please be sure to follow the show wherever you may be listening so you can catch the next episode on psychology-informed self-help interventions. Till next time. The information shared on the PsychHope Self-Help Podcast is done so with the understanding that it does not constitute professional help, nor is it a substitute for professional help. If you think you might benefit from more than self-help, there are resources listed in the show notes.